man.
Hallelujah.
What did mercy do for you? Are you thankful for mercy, for His grace, for His abundant pardon? Praise God. Come on. Let's give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. Can we? Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Praise God. Praise God. I believe it was the psalmist David said, I was glad when they said, let us come into the house of the Lord. How many glad folks we got in the house this morning?
Yes.
Glory to God. Yes. Not glad because of what I got for Christmas or what I didn't get. Glad because I have salvation in my life. Glad because I know Jesus. Amen. Glad because as long as we got the Lord, amen, we got all that we need. Amen. Praise the Lord. One more hand clap for Jesus. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. Sister Jennifer. I'm sorry. I don't believe I paid them real good. They done. Let's do G. How many's ever felt like you've gone just about as far as you can go? You shouldn't feel that way this morning because we already talked about how good God is and how great His mercy is. But I know we're human. Sometimes we feel like, man, God, where are you? I'm traveling down here and struggling. There was a song that was written that goes something like this. I saw a wayward traveler in tattered garments clad, struggling up the mountain. It seemed that he was sad. Well, his back was laden heavy, and his strength was almost gone. Yet he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Then come a victory crown of glory comes, a victory I shall wear. Then comes a victory crown of glory comes, a victory I shall wear. I saw him in the evening, sun was bending I reached the veil below. He saw that golden city, his everlasting home. And he shouted, hallelujah, deliverance has come. This
song of victory, crown
of glory comes. A victory I shall wear. Then come a victory, crown of glory comes. A victory I shall wear. Gazing on that city just o'er the narrow flood, a band of holy angels came from the throne of God. They bore him on their pinions, safe for the dashing fall. Then join him in his triumph, deliverance has come. A victory,
crowns of glory,
palms of victory
I shall wear.
Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory. One more time. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. If you're looking forward to that day, give the Lord praise. Don't give up now. All the best is yet to come. I know it's been hard.
I know it's been a journey, but wait till you see. Wait till you see what the Lord has prepared. My. No wonder the prophet said, it's joy unspeakable, full of glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. I feel deliverance in the house this morning. Thank God. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, amen, there is liberty. Thank you, musicians. Give them a hand. They're great. Wouldn't trade them for anybody in this world. Amen. We appreciate them so very much. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go with us to the book of Habakkuk, the little book before Zephaniah, the prophet Habakkuk. I like to say that, don't you? Habakkuk. Say that with me this morning. Habakkuk. How would you like to have a name like that? Probably get a nickname, wouldn't you? In the third chapter of the book of Habakkuk, verses 17 and 18 is where we want to go this morning. And thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy and precious word through his prophet. Habakkuk chapter number 3, verses 17 and 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for your many, many blessings, for this day that you have given us, for this opportunity together, Lord, in one mind and one accord. God, we're thankful for the help that you've given us, for the many blessings, God, that you bestow upon us daily. I pray, Lord, that right now we give you this time, God. I pray that we lay aside every problem, every weight, everything, God, that so easily besets us. Lord, help us to be in focus to your Spirit and to your Word. Father, I pray that you would anoint this vessel, anoint these lips of clay this morning, God, to speak that you would have us to hear, that we will be submissive and obedient. God, if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice that needs anything, we know, God, that you supply all of our needs. And Father, especially if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ personally, I pray that this would be the day that they're introduced to the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Pray, God, that they would open up their heart's door and invite Jesus into their life. Ask you now, God, that your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of love. You may be seated. Amen. Yet will I praise him. What a statement. What a declaration. That's easy to say when things are going really well. That's easy to say when there's a jingle in your pocket, when food is on your table, when the fields are full, the stalls are full. But the prophet here makes a statement. In fact, he makes a very profound statement. One that does not come easily. I don't believe anybody could make a statement like this unless they'd put a lot of thought in it. Many, many times our mouth shoots off before our mind really registers what we're saying. Can we say amen? Given the opportunity to think about it, sometimes we say, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I overloaded myself or whatever the case may be. But I believe the prophet here had some time of meditation and prayer. How many knows that meditation and prayer makes a decision go a lot better? When you ask the counsel of God rather than going out on your own and then say, God, hey, I need you now, come on. If we would ask first and then act or react to what God's will is. Oh me, I can only say that. Many, many times I've had to stop and say, wait a minute, Lord, I've kind of jumped ahead of you. I need you to lead me and guide me. But Habakkuk makes this statement. Regardless of the circumstances around him is basically what he's saying. Regardless of whatsoever state I am in, whether I am up, whether I'm down, whether I'm rich, whether I'm poor, whether I'm hungry, whether I'm fed, whether things are going well or things are going bad, I'm still going to praise you. And I make that determination. God, not because of the things around me, not because of what I have, not because all is well with me, but because I realize that everything around me pales in comparison to my relationship with you. Therefore, I will praise you regardless. I will praise you in all things. I will praise you regardless of how I feel or what I'm involved in. And he makes this statement. We find that Habakkuk was a prophet of God who wrote this basically, these three chapters was in the form of a psalm. And Habakkuk was concerned about the leaders in Judah. The leaders in Judah had become a little bit of selfishness around them, and they had oppressed their people. Now, if anybody knew about oppression, it was the Jewish people. Some 400 years under Egyptian bondage let them know what oppression was all about. But now they're in Judah. Now they're free. They're come to the land of Canaan. And now they're doing well. They've had their ups and downs. But right now they're kind of in the midst of a transformation. And there's many enemies still around them. And the leaders of Judah have somewhat oppressed the people. And things are not going really, really well. How many knows that bad leadership can cause everyone to suffer? And Habakkuk is praying, and he's asking the counsel of God, and he asks similarly the same question that David, the psalmist, said, why do the wicked prosper? Now, I know all of us, being full of the Spirit of the Lord and loving Christians, never ever ask the question why someone else who's not living for the Lord is prospering. That's not in the makeup of a good Christian, amen? But I will assure you it's crossed your mind. Whether you said it or not. Sometimes we don't realize how that God can bless people. And people that are agnostic in belief. People that don't even recognize that there is a higher power. People that put down Christians and all of these things that they're involved in. And yet seemingly they're prospering. How many knows those things are temporal? They're just temporary. So God assures Habakkuk. I mean, he's thankful for the assurance of God. I'm thankful for it, but sometimes I don't always understand it. I'm just being honest. And being in flesh, sometimes it don't always set well with me. Neither did it with Habakkuk. Because God assures him, the Chaldeans are going to come in, which is an enemy of the Jewish nation. They're going to come in, and they're going to overtake the Judah, and they're going to punish the leaders of Judah. This is a little perplexing to Habakkuk, as many of us begin to pray, Lord, I need you to make a way. Whatever it takes, I need you to make a way. And God says, here's what I'm going to do. He said, no, God, not that way. My way. No. My way's not right. God's way's right. But God assures him that what he is doing is right. How many knows purging is awful? But purging is productive. Not that we purge, but God purges. Thank God that he purges my heart. Thank God that he purges my mind. Thank God that he understands the things and the turmoil and the trials and the adversity and the anxieties that we go through. And when we bring all of them and we bundle them to the Lord, we say, God, I can't take it anymore. I'm struggling up the mountain. I need you to come in and relieve me from all of these things. God does it. Sometimes it's not in a pleasant way, but it is in a productive way. So God assures Habakkuk that the Chaldeans are going to come in and they're going to overtake the children or the leaders of Judah. But in the end, it's going to be fruitful. It's going to be beneficial to those who are now being oppressed by the Jewish leaders. Then Habakkuk questions the Lord the second time. And he doesn't understand. How many know sometimes we don't understand the mind of God? We have scripture that tells us his ways, his thoughts are higher than ours. But sometimes we don't know exactly what he's doing, step by step. Amen. But God doesn't always enlighten us on how he purges, fixes, or corrects the issue. So he speaks to Habakkuk, and he tells Habakkuk, basically what Habakkuk is worried about. He said, God, why would you use the enemy who are worse than the ones who need to be corrected to correct them? Why not punish them? And then God explains to Habakkuk that their judgment is yet to come. May I urge you not to be so fast to pray against those that spitefully use you, because their judgment is yet to come. I pray that God would save them and fill them and make them one of us. Not to pray wrath or vengeance upon them or to get even with them, but to save them. And all of this is overwhelming to Habakkuk. He doesn't understand. God, I don't understand your way. But this is what Habakkuk finally realizes. God, not my will, but thine be done. However you want to do it, it's all right. Let me tell you something. The next time you're praying for a move of God in your life, quit trying to understand it. Quit trying to correct it. Quit trying to give him advice. And just say, God, ever how you want to do it is all right with me. Come on, give him praise. Come on, love him. That's what he wants. He wants our praise. He wants our worship. So Habakkuk agrees. And then old Habakkuk sits down and he begins to write this beautiful, beautiful psalm. And as most psalms, he goes back in history a little bit and he begins to exalt God in all of his greatness. Can I give you another little hint in your prayer time? Before you start with your request, why don't you start with your praise and adoration? Somewhere in the end of the prayer, before you finish it, you'll get around to your request. But what's wrong with starting it off with, God, I just love you. I praise you. Oh, God, you're so great. You're all-knowing. You're all-powerful. You're omnipotent. You're omnipresent. Without you, I'm nothing. I just adore you. Amen. And Habakkuk begins to write of all the exploits of God. And he uses it in such prose as the psalmist used beautiful, beautiful language as he's exalting God. Somewhere right down toward the end of this beautiful poetic psalm, he begins to realize something. That everything that we have as a nation, everything that I have as an individual, the things that I place such precedence on in my life, the things that are considered valuable in my life, the things that I love and I adore in my life and that I need, the necessities of life. Lord, without you, none of that means anything. So, Lord, I declare in verse 17, and he uses the things that are productive around the nation of Israel, there in Judah, the things that they relied on for their economy. How many of you ever prayed, God, it's just a job. You'll take care of me if it's gone. Boy, that's a hard prayer to pray. Because I need my job. Well, I need the benefits. I need my cupboard to be full. We're not satisfied with just a little bit. I tell you what, if we was like a Mother Hubbard, we don't even never get that close. We got a refrigerator, it's got so much junk in it, there ain't a thing in here to eat. And you're moving stuff around all the time looking at it. And you open up the freezer and it's full. I ain't throwing out nothing. I ain't got time. But Habakkuk realized God was so blessed You brought us out of Egyptian bondage. You carried us through the desert, through the wilderness. You neither left us, God, but you guided us, Lord, with a pillar of fire at night and a cloud of smoke by day. You overcame our enemies. You fed us water where there was no water. You gave us meat where there was no meat. You rained down manna where there was no food. God, you won't forsake us. All of this means nothing without you. So if the fig tree doesn't blossom, can I paraphrase? Though my crop fails, can I paraphrase? Though my 401 crashes, is there a 104K? Sometimes 401k goes in reverse. I'm just wondering. Though I have to take a cut, though this happens, neither shall there be fruit in the vines, nor I don't get that raise, and God, I'm overlooked and bypassed for that promotion. Gas keeps going up. And all the good Christmas markdowns are gone. And I didn't get my coupons in the mail this week. And they've gone up on a 2-piece fish. And I still have to pay for the drink. And I love Waffle House. But there ain't a thing worth eating on that $5 menu. I want that all-star breakfast. But Lord, if I get that, then I'm going to have to pay 20% tip. I'm feeling a familiarity here in the confirmation. But Lord, and the labor of the olive, they were so dependent on the olive production. Everything they did, the lamps, the oil, the cooking, they were so dependent on the olive. And Habakkuk says, though it fails, though we don't have any olives this year, the crop just goes south and we don't get anything. And the fields shall yield no meat, though we facing starvation. There's no sustenance. And the flock is cut off from the fold. There's no more birthing. There shall be no herd in the stalls. You see, everything that Habakkuk could compare to their substantiating situation was regarded to some type of fruit or vegetable or meat. In today's society, it would be, if my salary is gone, if my electric bill is so high I can't pay it, all the many things that affect our lives today financially is what Habakkuk was referring to. And he says, though I find myself, or though we as a nation find ourselves without all of this, I will not worry. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to ask God, why hast thou forsaken me? He says, yet. One definition of yet is still. I think we might understand that word a little better. Still, I will praise Him. When everything looks bleak, still, I will praise Him. When the money runs out before the month does, still, I will praise Him. The doctor looks at me, gives me bad news, still, I will praise Him. Though there be a great falling away, still I will praise Him. I can't speak for everybody else, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It doesn't matter how many, it doesn't matter whether the house is full or not, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to lift Him up. I'm going to glorify Him, because I know that I can't do anything without Him. I know He is my provider. Glory to God. Not the fruit of the field, not what's in the stall, not what's in the barn. Amen, but what's in here. Hallelujah. I believe with all of my heart, though everything falls flat around me, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh, my God, Jehovah God will provide. He is the great provider. And Habakkuk says, I will still praise you. God, if you don't answer the prayer that I pray according to my expectations, I will still praise you. Amen. I was talking just recently about prayers. You men that are at the Chick-fil-A on Friday morning, you may hear this again. Talking about prayers that in our beliefs or our thought process did not become answered. That doesn't mean God didn't answer them. He just didn't answer them to what we thought He would be. But yet, when I read Habakkuk, I'm going to still praise Him. Glory to God. Job, your houses are gone. Job, your cattle's gone. Job, all your herd is gone. And if that's not bad enough, Job, all your children are gone. But Job had something in him. Job had a mindset, a determination. Though I lose it all, and though you slay me, yet will I serve thee. And he fell down and he worshiped God. Still praising God. Still praising God. Even after the prayers that we thought would have been answered in a different way were not, I'm still praising God. Hallelujah. In my expectations, in my prayer request, my son would be walking and talking and sitting up today. Because that's the prayer I prayed. But I should have said, Thy will be done, God. He's about to celebrate, let me get this right, 42nd birthday, February the 13th. God answered prayer. Sure. I could have laid the microphone down. Sure. I could have closed my Bible. Sure. I could have quit praying. I said, God, why did you do that? But let me tell you something. Something within me said, yet I will still praise Him. Yet I will still serve Him. Still I will praise Him through adversity, through sickness, through affliction, through downtime, through problems, through issues, through all of these things that come against us. I am more than a conqueror through Christ, which strengthens me. Give Him praise in this house this morning. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I will still praise Him. Because my salvation is not in the fig tree that blossoms, neither is it in the fruit that's on the vines, nor is it in the labor or the production of the olive, nor is it in the fields that yield meat, nor the flock that seems to be so abundant. nor the herd in the stalls. I'm really intrigued that he put that last. I'm going to tell you why. There's a saying among husbands. That every once in a while we have to rat hole a little money. Amen. You know where it is. I got news for you. So does the wife. She lets you have that little bit of independence.
He thinks he's so smart. He knows where he puts his money.
I thought it very, very, I guess, acknowledging that he chose his stall last. Because that's personal. When he talked about the fruit of the vine, that was mainly the land of Judah, the nation of Jerusalem, or the nation of Israel. That was their money crop, their production. And he talked about the olive. He's still talking in generality. But then when he says there's no herd in the stalls, there's nothing in my stall. When the nation has spent out, when the state has spent out, when the job is gone, that gets into the rat hole. That gets into what little we've got left. Now you can associate that with money, you can associate that with goods, you can associate that with anything, and you can associate that with your spirituality. Come on. And let me give you an example. Some folks get discouraged because church membership is down. Some people say, well, you know, there ain't no use in us just two or three serving the Lord. So they get affected by what other people around them do. Some people get down in the dirt because others are in the dirt. And they just write it off as that's what people do. But then when it gets personal, when everyone around you falls, that doesn't mean you need to fall. When everyone around you is discouraged, doesn't mean you need to be discouraged. If everybody else is a naysayer, you need to be the one bright light that says God can when everybody else says can't do it. You need to be that shining light that let the Spirit of God, that's your stall, that's what you have. And when that gets gone, then we all are in trouble. But Habakkuk says, even though my stall is empty and I have nothing to rely on, this is the very last meal that I'm going to have, I will still praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know I've told you about Sister Coleman. She lost her voice. She was on her deathbed. We walked in. Sister Coleman, come to pray with you. How are you doing? Her favorite word was all is well. She mouthed it and did that. There was something in her that sickness couldn't take away. There was something in her that bad news could not affect her. Hallelujah. Amen. When those around her was sad that she was leaving, she was excited about where she was going. See, we Christians sometimes, we do spend too much time looking in the rearview mirror. Look through the windshield a couple of times. Oh, glory. God just gave me a sermon. I ain't even through with this one yet.
What's chasing me? What's behind me?
Look through the window. Glory to God. Praise God. God's letting me see a little bit through the windshield. And what we have is greater than what we had. Where we're going is better than where we've been. Wait till you see what God has prepared for us. Hallelujah. wonder. Habakkuk said, yet I will still rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, regardless of circumstance. It takes a mindset. Come on. It takes faith to make that statement. Can we make that statement of faith this morning? Regardless of what I'm facing, regardless of what awaits me on Monday morning, I will yet praise Him. I will yet serve Him. Glory to God. Psalms 42, one of the psalmists wrote, there's about two or three, maybe more, references to this particular verse. It's in the fifth verse of the 42nd chapter of the book of Psalms. And the psalmist writes to himself. Who's ever talked to yourself? Daddy always told me that's all right, as long as you don't answer yourself. Not real sure what that means. But I was very careful never to answer myself because Daddy told me not to. But the psalmist said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Speaking to his soul. And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Ooh, what an antidote. Amen. What good advice. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Why am I down? Why am I discouraged? Why am I anxious? Why am I at my wit's end? Y'all know where that is, don't you? We go there quite a bit. Mother used to live there because of me and my brother. She never went there voluntarily. We drove her there to her wit's end. And let me tell you, the trip back was not pleasant on us. So you want to stop before you push somebody to their wit's end. Say, are we there yet? And back off. But so many times when we're at that point, instead of moaning and groaning and complaining and fretting and sweating and all those things that come with nervousness when we can't see an answer, why don't we just praise Him? I will yet praise Him. Can I say this? And I'm trying to come to a close. There's just so much in that wonderful psalm. I think sometimes we as Christians, we get caught up in, man, I got a testimony because God's been so good to me this week. And that's great. But what about, I got a testimony when I hadn't even been able to see God this week. Don't look at me like you've never been had one in weeks. We have them. But what's the matter with, I will still praise Him. No matter what. No matter what I face, no matter what I've gone through. And I found out those toughest weeks, if we'll praise Him more than we do even when we have those good weeks. I will assure you that you'll have more good weeks than you have bad weeks. You just don't remember the good weeks as good as you do the bad weeks. It's just a natural thing. We have a tendency to remember the bad things. We have one bad experience at a restaurant, we'll never go back. Going back in there, that woman frowned at me. I rattled my tea glass 3 times and she just walked right by me like she didn't even see me. But boy, they have some good steak and gravy. And all we don't talk about the good steak and gravy. She wouldn't give me no more tea. God, you have given me steak and gravy all my life. You've lifted me up when I was so far down. Amen. My knuckles were scraping on the asphalt. But you lifted me up. God, you lifted me up when I couldn't find help. You lifted me up when I couldn't find a good word. You lifted me up, God, when nothing else around me was working. And now that's all I remember is the bad times. No, I'm going to praise you. I'm still going to serve you. I'm going to lift you up every day of my life. And it still won't be sufficient praise. Yet will I praise Him. Yet will I praise Him. For His mercy endureth forever. I urge you to remember the good things. The song says, don't talk about the times you were down and out. Talk about the times that God brought you out. Think on the good things. Can I tell you something else in closing? It's contagious. It's contagious. When you begin to talk about the good things and still praising God, it'll wear off on others. Because I'm going to tell you, there's no saying misery loves company. Who does it? Sometimes we can walk into a group of misery. First thing you know, we feeling down, depressed. Man, I thought I was feeling pretty good. I got talking to all them. What's the matter with stepping into that group of misery people and saying, you know what, I'm still going to praise Him anyway. I'm still going to love you no matter what happens. Glory to God. Brought me too far. Crossed too many rivers. Climbed too many mountains. God has delivered me too many times. And He won't start failing me yet. Would you stand? Whatever you're facing, whatever the issue, yet will I praise Him. Yet. Still will I praise Him. Amen. Even if I don't get the desires of my heart, I will praise Him. Even if my body is racked in pain, I will still yet praise Him. If I'm not at the position I wanted to be right now in my time in life, I will still praise Him. Glory to God, and God honors that. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need a touch from the Lord, if you need to reaffirm your dedication to God, then come forward. If you need prayer for your body, if you need prayer that you're facing a situation, then come this morning and we'll pray with you. Some of you elders gather around. This is still an opportunity for you to come this morning. If you don't know Jesus, you need to be in this altar as we pray. Pray with us this morning.